Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The physical copy of Weather, the novel that's in my hands right now, is it measures about 7 inches by 4 inches. I can palm it, but do not take the physical slightness of author Jenny Offel's latest book the wrong way. Her novel, Weather, may be petite, but it is anything but small. In fact, Weather is concerned with the most pressing and existential threat of our lifetime, climate change. Our protagonist is Lizzie, a failed academic turned librarian who, as a side hustle, starts answering the emails for her former mentor's climate change podcast called Hell and High Water, a name which leads to some very interesting questions from listeners. Lizzie has more than enough to contend with in her everyday life. She's raising a young son, Eli. She and her husband are solidly middle class and sometimes struggle to make ends meet and struggle to remain a couple. Her brother, Henry, is a recovering addict, and she feels responsible for him, and the 2016 election looms. But in spite of it all, she already has to contend with, Lizzie finds herself becoming more and more preoccupied with climate change. She reads so-called prepper blogs. She learns how to make a candle out of a can of tuna. She speculates about where she would be the safest place to live during a climate crisis. All the while, Lizzie's personal relationships begin to fracture as her fixation on climate change grows more and more intense. Jenny Offel's previous novel, The Department of Speculation, was shortlisted for the Folio Prize. She is currently crisscrossing the country and soon the big pond for events in England, but we are lucky enough to catch her here in New York City and in the studio. Welcome, Jenny.
Thanks for having me.
So when does Lizzie, our protagonist, can you describe for our listeners when she first becomes really concerned with climate change?
Well, her former mentor has been doing environmental podcasts for a while, and so there's a way in which she's sort of been taking in what Sylvia's been saying, but I think it's only once she starts to answer the letters for her that she starts to hear about all the details and mainly learns that it's just happening so much faster than she expected.
And when you were writing these letters that Jenny reads, did you have certain things in mind you wanted to get to? How did you go about deciding what the letters would be about?
Well, the letters were really fun to write. I mean, they range from all sorts of things, everything from how should I prepare my children for the coming chaos, to why do humans like applause, to questions that are really based on conspiracy theories, like what is the nano hummingbird? So I wrote them partially based on my own interests as I was studying climate change, and partly just when I went down a particularly strange rabbit hole, I sometimes came up with an answer for one of them.
Now, were you studying climate change before you wrote the book, or did you decide I would like to write a novel about with climate change as an important part of it?
I worked on this book for about 6 years, 6.5 years, and the first year of it, I was writing about anticipatory dread, but it was about sort of a different form of it. It was about getting older. It was about the fear of losing people around you. And then at a certain point, I myself started to read up on the science of climate change, and I thought, this character is a librarian, she's talking to everyone coming in, and I know as a professor that I started to hear more and more from my students, especially my younger students, about how big this threat was looming in their mind. And so it was a slow process because, frankly, I just worried I didn't know how to write a good novel that was about that. Most novels are post-apocalyptic that talk about climate change, and I had in mind kind of a pre-apocalyptic or hopefully not apocalyptic at all.
There's a very funny line in the book because you get something that I think some people feel. You write, Lizzie tells Sylvia, her mentor, environmentalists are so dreary.
Mm.
Why do you think there's this general sense that some people have about environmentalists, although we all know it's so important?
Well, I have to cop to that as probably my own idea originally. I think that it's partly because the actual science of climate change, I know when I was first learning it, I thought to myself, how can anything be so terrifying and so boring at the same time? I think the fact that it is very intricate, when people were worrying about the atomic bomb, we didn't have to understand everything that went into making that bomb to understand the threat or what we might need to do to counter it. But with climate change and the climate crisis, you really do have to learn why it doesn't matter if we stay at 1.5C versus 2C. All those things which don't intuitively make a lot of sense. Why is a positive feedback loop bad? Sounds kind of good.
My guest is Jenny Offal. The name of her book is Weather. I want to talk about the writing style a little bit. It's not traditional or not conventional. There, you know, it changes. There are sides. There are questions in boxes. There are these letters that we've been talking about. What does structuring a book this way and working through the story this way as a writer, what does it allow you?
I think I like to write it in these small little sections because it allows me to bring in different kind of tones and ideally different emotions so that there can also be some humor to the novel, even though there's a dark subject matter to part of it. But also just because I think that I'm always trying to write closer to the way I think. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this sort of associative trains that we all have when we're thinking, where one minute we're rushing off to pick up our kid from practice and the next minute we're learning about something really complicated and frightening that's happening in the natural or political world. I think the scales that were moving back and forth, I wanted a form that would allow me to show that sort of slippage.
I'm going to ask you to read a couple of pages I think really show the different kind of styles that one gets in the book. So would you set this up for our listeners?
Sure. This is the narrator, Lizzie, the librarian, and she's talking about what's happening right after the election and specifically what her husband is doing. After the election, Ben makes many small wooden things. One to organize our utensils, one to keep the trash can from wobbling. He spends hours on them. "There, I fixed it," he says. A turtle was mugged by a gang of snails. The police came to take a report, but he couldn't help them. "It all happened so fast," he said. And in the ether, people asking the same questions again and again about what happened. To the yours to losers, to the both the samers, to the wreck it allers. Happy now? The path is getting narrower. That's how my husband told me. He was doing the math in his head. But it could still? It's not impossible. And so we stayed up and watched the results until the end. At school, my son's friend boasts that he will kill the president using a lightsaber. Then he says, "No, a throwing star is better." Eli comes home upset. His friend is going about things the wrong way, he thinks. "What is the right way?" I ask him. "Dig a trap. Cover it with leaves." There is advice everywhere. Some grand, some practical. The practical advice spreads quickly and creates consequences. Women of reproductive age are being urged to get IUDs. They can last 6 to 12 years and so might outlast the shuttering of the clinics. But it's suddenly hard to get in to see a doctor. The appointments are all booked for months and the waiting rooms at the walk-in clinics are full of nervous white women. A question for Sylvia. Do angels need sleep? It is unlikely, though we cannot be completely sure. Should we get a gun? My husband asks. But it's America. You don't even get on the news if you shoot less than 3 people. I mean, isn't that the last right they'll take away? He looks at me. His grandfather's last name was twice as long as his. They shortened it at Ellis Island. It was the same after 9/11. There was that hum in the air. Everyone everywhere talking about the same things. In stores, in restaurants, on the subway. My friend met me at the diner for coffee. His family fled Iran 1 week before the Shah fell. He didn't want to talk about the hum. I pressed him, though. "Your people have finally fallen into history," he said. "The rest of us are already here."
The name of the book is Weather. It's a novel by Jenny Offal. Those last two lines are amazing. So when you write something like that, So we have the narrator, we have a letter, we have a conversation between a husband and wife, we have an observation of a child. When you're writing that, do you write that in sequence? Or how do you go about it? I'm fascinated by this.
I don't always write it in sequence. What I do is I write individual sections, and then I work on getting the language precise in those sections. And then I keep them sometimes under categories, like it'll be all the scenes with the husband or all the scenes with whatever. And then at about the halfway point in the novel, I start trying to assemble them and figure out how the pieces go together. And that's when I notice, I think that it would be interesting to have something funny here, or I think that I want to bring in this storyline. So the turtle and the snail joke, I was probably had the election section and felt like, I do remember that after the election, there was this way that sort of corny jokes began to sound like they were symbolic.
Prescient and like...
Yeah, in a funny way. Yeah. And so I wanted to kind of capture that because, you know, when you're the parent of a small child, you often are hearing the jokes that are going around the playground at any given time. So I wanted to kind of work that in and also kind of capture the strangeness of the conversations you have with children during times that are really difficult and dark, because something like killing the president with a lightsaber, and where are you going to go with that? And actually where you end up is often kind of surprising.
One person we don't meet in this section is Lizzie's brother, Henry. And Lizzie parents and Henry sort of parents, what did you want to discuss and have us think about parenting through this novel?
Well, in a way, I was thinking not only about parenting, but just about caretaking in general. Mm-hmm. All the different ways that we feel that we need to take care of those around us. I don't think I know very many people that aren't taking care of a variety of people in their lives. It might be their neighbor if they're not a parent. It might be an older parent themselves. But I wanted to write about that because one of the things that happens to Lizzie as she goes through the book is she's always been someone that took care of people in her family and even the patrons that come in the library. But it's somewhat destabilizing for her to begin to think about all the other people in the world and all the other non-human creatures in the world and start to have flickers of feeling about what it would mean to extend that circle of care.
At one point in the book, she starts to develop it's a romance of sorts with another person. Why is she drawn to this man, this sort of globe-trotting fellow?
Well, she develops a crush on a war reporter that comes into the bar where she used to work. And I think part of the reason that she has such a crush on him is that she's in... she ends up coming out of it quite a bit, but she's in the midst of her doomer stage. And the part where this guy, Will, has lived through all sorts of dangerous situations and has a sort of, I don't know if it's a stoicism or a calm, or a numbness, but something that makes him not easy to alarm. And one of the moments that they have together is where she starts telling him he asks her, what are her useful skills? And she starts naming them. And they're all quite ridiculous in the context of what she's afraid of.
And I do want to, before we wrap up, touch on the undercurrent of religion in the book. The podcast that Lizzie works for is called Hell and High Water, which causes a lot of extremists to write to her about end times. What role did you want religion to play in the story?
Well, I think it's in some ways a little bit underreported, the degree to which sometimes religious attitudes are affecting whether people are particularly concerned or not about the climate crisis. For certain sectors of evangelical Christians, it's seen as part of the rapture, and therefore to try to intervene with it is to go against God's will. That's obviously a hard thing to work with for the people that are doing climate communication and that sort of thing. Lizzie and her brother grew up in an evangelical household. Her mother has sort of moved away from that, but she's very familiar with that world, and she is, when she answers questions like, how will the last generation know it's the last generation, it's sent to her as a religious question, meaning, are the tribulations about to begin? But she thinks of it also as a question that is about climate.
The name of the book is Weather. It is a novel by Jenny Offel. Great reviews. The LA Times called it genius. Boston Globe called it luminous. I enjoyed this tremendously, Jenny. Thank you so much for making time for us. I know you're really busy and traveling about the world.
It's so fun to be on the show. Thank you very much.
This is all of it.